Hey everybody, this is Future Andrew coming to you before the episode starts. Just wanted to let you know that during Samantha's second news article, you'll notice that the audio goes a little bit weird. This was picked up when we were doing post-production work on the episode and came across that our software that we were using to do the recording just decided didn't want to work properly. It's really with regards to the Apex Legends news about the competitive league that they were having when hackers installed virus, well, not virus software, at least hacking software onto the players' computers during this time. So please just have that little context when you listen to it a little bit later on. But otherwise, enjoy the rest of the episode. Cheers. This is your Week in Gaming, episode 35, recorded for the 22nd of March, 2024, to bring you all the latest news from the world of gaming. On today's episode of the podcast, we talk Monster Hunter World Milestones, EA Golden Oldies, League of Legends MMO Reset, and a strange request for skins. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 35 of your Week in Gaming. For all your gamers, this is a reminder, especially on World Water Day, to stay hydrated. So you don't have to go to your streamers and use your little channel points to remind them to hydrate. This is a podcast reminder for them to hydrate as well as yourselves. I'm joined by moderately hydrated Samantha, I think.
No, very, very not hydrated. I have been sleeping most of the day, so very little hydration currently, but I will go and fix that. That being said, however, we're in South Africa, a country that stereotypically, apparently, has no water. So good luck with that, gamers.
Yeah, I went to go and have a look and I was like, what is the 22nd of March? And I was like, it's World Water Day. I'm like, interesting. Some people have never seen water, you know, which is a scary thing as well. But I digress from all of those things. But if you do have access to water, make sure you use it sparingly and make sure you stay hydrated when you can, especially when
use it sparingly, but drink a lot of it.
Drink an absurd amount of it sparingly.
Yes.
That's what it feels. That's what it feels like. But listen, before we start going along, that road about just the consumption of water and resources and everything, let's talk about something a little bit more exciting with some gaming news. And gaming news now in Monster Hunter World continues to reach new milestones 6 years after release. Monster Hunter World has surpassed 25 million copies sold, becoming Capcom's best-selling game ever. With more information becoming available for the next installment in the other series, Monster Hunter Wilds, this may be one of the reasons why the game has seen such an increased success. Monster Hunter World has had some amazing crossovers which also have helped keep the game feel fresh, such as Assassin's Creed, The Witcher, as well as Resident Evil. Capcom further confirmed that the Monster Hunter series has surpassed 97 million units sold. Clearly, the audience has an appetite for Monster Hunter and Monster Hunter games, and I, for one, cannot wait for the release of Monster Hunter Wilds.
Imagine that those numbers don't include Xbox Game Pass, because you don't actually buy that.
Correct. If it is definitely on Game Pass, and to be honest, I haven't seen because I actually own the things on Steam, a game that I own and don't just like rent from Xbox Game Pass. What a surprise.
You must really like it then.
But yeah, it's 97 million copies, of which 25, like over a quarter of them, is purely from Monster Hunter World, which has really been like the biggest hit one. And it's still played a lot today. I mean, the other ones, Monster Hunter Reborn or whatever it was, wasn't great. You know, it was on Switch first only. It did get a PC port. It was very I mean, I have it on Switch. It was just very mediocre. It didn't hit as hard as Monster Hunter World, but I'm hoping that Wilds can kind of pick off where World ended and just continue with it, because it'll be absolutely amazing if that happens.
Ah, okay. So it's Monster Hunter Rise
that's on Game Pass. Rise.
Yeah. That's the one. Okay, cool. But I mean, still, it falls under the 97 million units sold ever or whatever, like in the series. So yeah, fair enough, makes sense. That's a lot of copies, a lot of games. It's great to see that there are still, you know, game series that do so well and still have such a strong player base and yeah, some loyal fans there. It's not for me. I tried it. It's not for me. But I can appreciate that other people enjoy it.
It's easier Soulborne games, I guess, is to have a look at it. Some of the fights are really, really tough.
The League of Legends MMO has gone into a reset. Very sad news. I think that it was the right call to make from Riot. However, there's been kind of an extended silence on the game itself. And finally, they broke the silence very recently, and they said that the progress of the game, the development of the game, has been reset. They realized that they were going in a direction that they weren't terribly happy with, and so they've decided to scrap it and start again. They said that it felt like a kind of a generic Runeterra coat of paint on an MMO, and they wanted it to be special. They wanted it to be unique, and so unfortunately it's gone into reset, which means that the team is going to be going dark for several years. I am heartbroken. I was so excited for this game, and going dark means that, like, they're essentially starting from scratch. So everything that we thought we had up to this point, we no longer have. It's just, and they announced this, I want to say 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. And so all of the progress that they'd made, and they were clearly developing it before they'd made the announcement, all of that is just reset. And it's like, well, I don't think I'm seeing this game before I die.
When I read the article about the reset, I immediately thought, is this a potential way of a company actually just announcing that they don't have the staff complement or won't be having the staff complement? Because I think that is the reason it came to my mind, is that you're seeing more and more of these articles about companies releasing and letting people go. And that was my first worry, was like, is this just a PR way of saying that we're letting people go? I hope it's not. I do hope it's just a case of, you know what, guys, we weren't heading in the right direction. We're going to be starting from scratch. Look, I don't necessarily think that it's going to be a hard reset, in the sense of they're going to have to start literally from scratch, and it's going to be another like 6-8 years before the game comes out. Well, but I hope it's not that, at least. Hopefully there are still some things that they can keep and use, whether it be assets that they've designed or storylines or something. So at least it's not a complete revamp of the game. But either way, that is a huge knock to the timeline.
So obviously Riot had their big layoff quite recently. And they also did announce that they have a new executive producer that's going to be working on the MMO. Somebody who's worked at EA, at BioWare, has done a lot of like work across the gaming sphere. So clearly it's still happening, and he's now, you know, taken over control of direction and production and whatever. But yeah, I mean, who's to say how long this is actually going to take? It is a little bit of a kick to the shin, I think, for a lot of people who were looking forward to it, who were looking forward to a new MMO to rival some of the bigger ones. Because I must admit, WoW is still the biggest one, and I'm so bored of WoW at this point. Like, I can't even bring myself to play it anymore. So I was really looking forward to it. It's a bit sad, but hey ho, I think it was the right call. You don't want just a generic reskin. You want something that's actually gonna make waves. That's Riot's MO. So
100% agreed. Well, if you're looking for some games, for all you game hoarders, including myself, right, EA has published some great golden oldies, and they're at a really good price at the moment on Steam. So incredibly underrated EA game from 2009, The Saboteur, right, is finally available on Steam. It was on sale for about 50% off, but it is also the spring sale or the summer sale on Steam. So chances are the games are going to be pretty cheap there. Whilst the game was always on PC, I mean, I actually still own the hard copy disc of the Saboteur. It is finally on Steam 15 years later. Along with this World War II GTA-style game, EA has published other classics such as Command & Conquer, like all 17 of the games and DLCs, Dungeon Keeper, many, many others that are now available on Steam. They're really are pretty cheap at the moment. So if you want to venture down memory lane and play some Red Alert 2 Yuri's Revenge or play the Saboteur in World War II Front, go pick them up now and browse the Steam library for all the amazing sales that they have and pick up games that you're not going to play in the next year or two.
So the one thing that I found really sad about the slew of EA games that just got mass released at the exact same time on Steam was that a lot of smaller like indie game devs really suffered. One game in particular that actually popped up on my feed, it was called Potions: A Curious Tale. And I felt so bad for the lady that was developing this. She said, "My indie game I worked on for 10 years was immediately bumped off of new and trending by EA spam releasing 11 titles at once." Now, look, I don't think that there was anything malicious in that. EA were just like, cool, we're just going to put out these titles. Our game has enjoyed it. We want to, you know, give them the opportunity to play it. So cool, you know, whatever. But there's definitely like a kickback that I don't think is thought of. Anyway, what I'm saying with this is play the old games. Absolutely. Good prices, nostalgia. You know, they were beloved in their time for a reason. But, you know, maybe go check out the indie games as well. Steam often has their indie game sale, showcase, whatever. Go check it out. See what's cool. See what's trending. Give some love to some smaller devs who've put a lot of time and effort into their game. After two players were hacked mid-game and wall hacks and aimbot were installed remotely onto their PCs during the match. That is terrifying, okay? That is so serious. The game community at large went nuts. Accusations were initially flung at EAC, or Easy Anti-Cheat, but their first tweet in 5 years was to basically say, don't put that shit on us, man. It's not us. But a lot of, you know, there were some tweet threads coming out like, don't play these games because you might be at risk, you know? All the games that had EAC on them, it was quite scary for a moment. But Respawn then issued a statement, which of course Respawn is the actual developer of Apex Legends. It's like under EA, but it's Respawn. They issued a statement confirming that the players were indeed hacked and they have paused the tournament to address the issue. So well done there, competitive integrity. They have developed the first of a layered series of updates to protect the community. Now, Apex has long been criticized for their cheating and hacker problem. This is an absolute shit show. It is unreal to me that that can happen in a tournament, no less.
It's terrifying. And how I came across this little piece of news was, as you know, we sit around and scroll through social medias like TikTok, and I came across a gentleman by the name of Pirate Software, old Blizzard dev. And he was having a chat to, I think it was one of these players that was in this tournament and one of the other players that were like, the PC was hacked. And he went about explaining it in detail. If you understand the lingo, like, you know, it's easier to follow. If not, it's a little bit difficult, but at least he explained it, like, you know, and he draws pictures in paint. He loves using paint to like explain things. And the fact that something like this could even happen is so terrifying. It's crazy to think that like you could be playing an online game and somebody could access and install stuff onto your PC. That alone is a terrifying thing to think about. And if anything, it should tell people, be careful about what you install, be careful what you download, be careful what you do online. Use things like a paid VPN. Don't use a free one, because chances are free ones are not going to give you the same like hiding of your IP as any other one. I, for one, use NordVPN. Like, consider using them or any other paid like VPN service. If you're tech savvy enough and you want to have your personal home firewall, use a firewall. Chances are all of these kind of things would probably never have stopped what happened there. Right, which is a scary thing to think about. But at least Respawn have said, listen, guys, pausing the tournament until we sort this out. It's still crazy to think about that something like this could happen. Because if they could install cheats and things onto your PC, what else could they have access to?
Yeah. I will say that as horrific as it was also very entertaining watching the POVs from the two players as it's happening. And they're basically going like, I've got wall hacks. I can't play. I will say I commend their competitive integrity. I think it was Hal who was like, guys, I have aimbot. I can't shoot. If I shoot, it's cheating. I can't shoot. And so he's like running around trying to raise his teammate, but he knows that he can't shoot because if he shoots, he's essentially using an aim lock. Oh god, it was a disaster. And it was really funny because I think a little bit later on in the stream, he starts going, guys, how do I run a virus scan? Like, how do you get this far in life not knowing how to run a virus scan? Which, if you had been doing more regularly, this may not have happened. But I mean, it is the things that people are able to do with technology, the things that hackers are able to do now, so scary. Guys, please be safe out there.
Yeah, be careful what you put out on the online. Careful what you save in documents and stuff on your PC as well. Like, don't save passwords in like a notepad or a Word doc or an Excel sheet or anything like that. Please, 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 please don't use a password manager so you only need to remember one password. Or if you have to, be old school and write them down in like a notebook or something that you can keep. But like, yeah, just be careful. Look after what you do online. That's all. And also respawn, sort this out, please. We want to watch competitive Apex without, you know, people war hacking and aimbotting everywhere.
I will say, I remember years ago, Stokinacor had a breach. They had saved everyone's passwords as .txt files. Obviously, this was years and years and years ago, but I just remember going, bro, what? So yes, thankfully, security has hopefully beefed up a bit since then. All right.
I hope so.
Soon to be successes. We have spoken about this before, I think twice actually on the show, but it is the new TTRPG or tabletop role-playing game designed by Critical Role called Daggerheart. I have had the immense pleasure of playtesting this new system. It's now in open beta, so you can go and you can grab it. There's like a quick start adventure. There is a 377 page book, like manual, that you can just get for free, the whole ass game. They're just going to give it to you. And it includes everything about the classes, the ancestries, the just everything that you need to play. And it is so much fun. It's definitely less mechanically focused than your typical D&D. There's a lot more focus on kind of freedom and being able to do different things and not being so constrained by harsh rules. For example, for anyone who's familiar with Dungeons & Dragons, there's no initiative order. You just kind of go when it makes sense in the narrative for your character to do something, which I love. And then the DM cannot do anything until a player rolls with fear. What that means is it's a 2d12 system. You have one hope die and one fear die. If your hope die is higher when you roll your 2d12, you are essentially rolling with hope. You get like a liquid resource that you can then use to fuel your spells and abilities. If you roll with fear, the DM gets a liquid currency, which then fuels their ability to do stuff. So you're in combat. If you're just consistently rolling with hope, the DM just has to sit there. It's unlikely that that's going to happen, of course. But when you do roll with fear, the DM is then able to take a turn. He controls all of the NPCs. And then you start again and you keep going. And it's a lot of fun. I love the 2d12 system. I feel like it gives a lot more opportunities for successful rolls just by virtue of the fact that you're rolling two separate dice. So that's really fun as well. I love the changes to the stats. So it's not your typical like wisdom, charisma, intelligence, dexterity, strength, constitution. You've got things like finesse, agility, instinct, knowledge, right? Like they're far more intuitive, it feels like, in terms of what you're actually trying to accomplish with a role. It's also not as crunchy in terms of the long list of things that you have to remember at every level up. But I think the thing that I love the most is what they call experiences. And how this works is you create your character. So the character that I was playing was a Qatari. For D&D people, think Tabaxi. A Seraph, think like cleric type vibe. And her experiences were, I can find the path. That was one of the experiences. So I'm a wanderer. And what I do is I go from place to place. I, you know, walk with a merchant caravan. My family are nomads. So I can find the path. So any role that involves finding, you know, finding a trail or following someone that I'm chasing or whatever, anything that feels like it makes narrative sense for the sentence, I can find the path, I get to add a bonus to that role. Or the other one is, you can't hide anything from me. So, you know, cats are really insightful. So if I'm trying to find out if you're lying, I get to add a bonus to it. If I'm trying to find out if there's like a hidden compartment or something like that, I can add a bonus to it. And you get to decide. There's no like set list of these are what you pick from. You just decide like, hey, this is my experience and I'm going to have a bonus for it. I love this system so much and I want to play more of it.
When it comes to systems, I think I like the fact that there's variety. And I do understand that a lot of people decided to go about designing their own systems after that whole thing with WotC and or Hasbro and them wanting to change like the open license stuff, which was going to like hurt a lot of people. And there was massive backlash. And they basically just said like, sorry, guys. After all of that, it was like, sorry, you know, we're not going to be doing this again. And a lot of people decided, well, they need to make their own system and design their own stuff in order to avoid anything like that taking place, right? I just feel like there's been a lot that has been shoved on. And currently, I work in two systems, and I'm busy doing a third one. To now add a fourth and fifth like system, it just seems like it's a lot. But Daggerheart does sound cool. I like the fact that, like, you know, as you're talking about combat, just kind of like it just flows and how it goes narratively. It's very similar to one of the systems that I like, which was powered by the Apocalypse, a game called Monster of the Week. It's think Supernatural / Buffy, Vampire Slayer, and it's like a mashup of all of those kind of things into one. So it's also different stats. It is a 2d6 system, and also the game master or dungeon master, whatever you want to refer, or they call them the keeper in the system, doesn't roll. You do not roll dice at all, ever, whatsoever. And it's also, there's no like initiative order. Everything's just narrative, you know, how things go. And based on the roles, the keeper then, you know, tries to do something. It's a really fun system. Daggerheart sounds really cool. And if you can have people that are so good with storytelling, such as the folks at Critical Role and the people involved at Darrington Press and stuff, like to create a system that is going to be a great storytelling tool, a great storytelling system, you know that it's going to be a hit. I see they've posted and they've done things on Twitch and YouTube and stuff already in character creation to like really explain everything, and it looks rad. If you are interested, go check out their YouTube channel. There's a whole bunch of stuff there already. Go download the PDF. I really like the fact that it's like for free. And they're like, here we go, guys. Here's the system. Go wild.
And that brings us to our special mentions. As always, the news items that we didn't really have a lot of time to deep dive into, but that we thought were still worthy of mentioning. Kicking things off, update 1.6 brings major changes to Stardew Valley, including fixes for bugs, translation errors, and graphical issues. Fans are excited about patch 1.6.2, another new patch, which will address additional gameplay adjustments and quality of life fixes. Concerned Ape's dedication to addressing reported issues promptly has been praised by the community, ensuring the game's success. And it doesn't just come with fixes and quality of life stuff. There is a ton of new content as well. So go check it out.
Yeah, if you want to go find out, go read the patch notes. They're long. A major COD cheat provider, Imp, has shut down. Activision's Ricochet anti-cheat system faces challenges from cheat developers who find creative ways to bypass detection. Fans are hopeful that Activision will continue to pursue cheaters to maintain the integrity of Call of Duty games.
Get wrecked. In a new trailer for GDC 2024, Chrono Odyssey looked even more incredible than the last time it was shown. 3 years ago, the first ever trailer for Chrono Odyssey was shown. Developer Chrono Studios described its second game as a space-time epic fantasy MMORPG, and the trailer teased a tense fantasy world full of spectacle, showcasing many different magic powers and teasing a high-stakes story. That cinematic trailer still looks as impressive as the cutscene graphics for most PS5 releases.
Season 4 of Diablo 4 brings major changes to optimization, focusing on quality over quantity, finally. Players can expect more powerful loot drops, gem system simplifications, and new item rarities. Season 4 starts on May 14th with changes including easier endgame content access and more player control.
Making the game easier. Great. Good stuff, Blizz. A leak has claimed that Valorant may be coming to various consoles, including the Nintendo Switch, Linux, and Steam Deck, expanding its player base. Riot Games is facing challenges in porting Valorant due to its unique game engine, but is also working on a mobile version, which I believe is already available in China. The addition of crossplay to Valorant would allow more players to access the game on different platforms.
Remedy has confirmed an exciting detail about the Max Payne remakes. The budget for the Max Payne remakes is on par with that of Alan Wake 2, Remedy said. The remakes are hence estimated to cost around $55 million, not accounting for their marketing expenses. Remedy expects the Max Payne remakes to enter active production by mid-2024, which is previously estimated to take up to 2.5 years to complete.
Dragon Ball Sparking Zero brings back beloved Budokai gameplay with new fast-paced movement and exciting new skills for players to master. Fans can expect fan-favorite characters like Trunks, Super Saiyan Broly at full power, and even Master Roshi in his max power form to join the roster. The official release date has not been confirmed yet, but fans are already buzzing with excitement for the long-awaited sequel to Dragon Ball Budokai Tenkaichi 3. And of course, rest in peace, Akira Toriyama, who brought this amazing series to the world.
The Quarry is now available on Xbox Game Pass. With 186 different ending permutations, The Quarry looks to be one of the most replayable horror games that has ever reached Microsoft's subscription service. While The Quarry has a PC port, its Xbox Game Pass version is only available to Microsoft consoles and via Xbox Cloud Gaming.
Do you know how many of those endings I'm going to see, Andrew?
One.
Zero. I'm not playing a horror game. You must be out of your mind. patch 10.2.6 brings a new battle royale mode called Plunderstorm to, wait for it, World of Warcraft. Warcraft's getting a battle royale mode with pirate-themed rewards. Plunderstorm requires a new character with limited abilities, and players can collect loot to upgrade spells and win cosmetic rewards. The limited time event disables add-ons for a fair challenge and lets players earn renown points for exclusive items. I quite like that bit. No more add-ons. Play the game properly as it was intended.
Just like hardcore. I play it without any add-ons whatsoever. Hot new games coming through Xbox Game Pass in March. Diablo 4, Ark Survival Ascended, F1 23, Final Fantasy 14, and many more. Diablo 4, though. Additionally, it's released Lightyear Frontier on day one, a new sim game that combines farming and mech gameplay for solo and co-op.
Tales of Kinzera Zao combines Afrofuturism and Bantu mythology to explore themes of grief, aiming for a unique gaming experience. Led by Abubakar Salim of Assassin's Creed fame, Surgeon Studios brings emotional depth and vibrant visuals to this Metroidvania genre. Inspired by Bantu culture, the game's stunning visuals and mix of technology and nature set it apart from recent releases.
Overwatch 2 has had a slew of recent news, including new heroes no longer being locked behind a battle pass, so thank goodness. And their newest hero, Venture, will be available for everyone on release. Additionally, a new map has been teased, as well as big changes to some existing maps, including Dorado, Circuit Royale, Havana, and Numbani. Most exciting of all, they are walking back some of the buffs recently given to Malga, Sombra, and Symmetra to balance the power. Overwatch has been guilty of power creep for some time, so it's nice to see them taking strides to try and address that issue.
Overwatch 2 actually good now? Question mark.
Probably not, let's be honest.
Wow.
Let's be honest, it probably isn't. I'm not going to be downloading it anytime soon. And this week's news nobody cares about. Since Fortnite is adding skins of just about every pop and gaming icon ever existent, like in the world or whatever, why not television too? What if I told you that one TV personality has specifically said he wants to be in Fortnite? I know that you cosmetic hoarder ears have perked, right? What if I told you that this individual was Dr. Phil? I can see the expression on Sam's face. Dr. Phil recently released a... Why not, right? He recently released a video pleading his case for getting his own Fortnite character. In his video, he references that Eminem has three different Fortnite skins, whilst he has zero, and he has moves like a cat, all right? Even if the cat is more like Garfield, to be fair. Whilst we don't know if this will happen, it would be wild to think that you could build structures quickly, break houses down, and chug juice whilst being a legendary moustache TV show host. It just, I'm blown away when I read it and I watched the video. It's crazy.
I suddenly had a vision in my mind of playing the Dr. Phil Fortnite character and having therapy sessions and being like, let's break down those walls. Let's break, you see these walls that you've built up, that you've surrounded your heart? We're going to break them down. I feel like you could have a lot of fun with that, to be fair. Actually, I'd like to see Dr. Phil playing Fortnite in a therapeutic session. I think that would be immensely entertaining.
Could you imagine, though, being killed in the game by a Dr. Phil and them coming and flossing over your body or whatever the case is? God. It's just, can you imagine the dancers?
Back to the jump ship. You need to reflect. You need to think about your life.
Oh, you know what? If there was a skin that needed to be in the game just for comic relief for everybody, let it be Dr. Phil, I guess, because crazy. But I mean, like, if it does happen, everyone's going to be making a lot of money. Epic will be making a lot of money. He will make a lot of money. But yeah, so if you're interested in watching the full video and actually seeing the entire case that he pleads to Epic, like, go and check. You can just go to YouTube, Dr. Phil Fortnite skin video, and go and see it. It's like a minute long or so, minute, 2 minutes. It's really good. He makes some interesting points, so I'm just saying, Epic, if you're going to add somebody into the game, we have enough, like Eminem and Lady Gaga and all of those other things and all the other crossovers. Get a Dr. Phil skin in like a suit, one of his like iconic like blue shirt, black tie suits, right?
I will say, in the vein of skins that people actually probably care about, for those that don't know, the CS2 major skins dropped yesterday. So if one of your favorite teams is currently in the major and you want to go get, see if you can nab yourself a holo, now's the time.
Well, that about rounds up on news and gaming this week. Thank you so much for listening in to episode 35 of Your Week in Gaming. You can find us on socials at YWIG Podcast and by email at yourweekingamingpodcast@gmail.com. I'm Andrew and you can find me at My Name is Pengu.
I'm Sam. You can find me at Nari Mizuki.
Our next episode will be out on Friday, 29 March 2024 at 7 a.m. GMT plus 2 and across all major podcast platforms. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye.
Bye.